Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with New York City jazz drummer Aaron Sieber. This emerging musician has a debut coming out, the new 2022 CD First Move. He is originally from Washington, D.C., and early on was exposed to a lot of great musicians like Buck Hill, Freddie Redd, Butch Warren, Larry Willis, and so many other legends that helped feed his enthusiasm for jazz. Over the years, he has shared the stage with the greats like Eric Reed, Warren Wolf, Grant Stewart, Jeremy Pelt, all in premier joints all over the place. Dig his story.
So, hey, man, thanks for taking a minute to talk about the music and your life in music. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for asking.
I want to, you know, dive into the album and kind of figure out your feelings on this, especially now with the pandemic's kind of coming to a close, actually, ceremoniously enough. Fauci announced today that it's come to a close. You know, there's more chances for live shows. There's things that are opening up. There's just kind of a more optimistic viewpoint on things. What's this album release mean for you?
Well, it's just it's a great opportunity to have a product of my music that will be accessible to the world. I think, you know, I'll be able to hopefully book stuff as a leader and travel more, you know, having this record to sort of help sort of push things along. You know, but in general, like, yeah, the ending of the pandemic is just great in so many ways because, you know, we're gonna get to play more and less cancellations and stuff. Yeah, I'm hoping that I'll be able to travel around and promote this music a little bit.
What was your artistic goal with this album? What was the ultimate voice that you wanted to project?
So I guess as a first record for me, I sort of just wanted to put my sound out there with the people I like to play with the most. And the songs I like to play a lot, stuff I feel good about that's like really just channeling my artistic vision and my music and my concept, you know, and it's sort of, that's sort of what I did. I got people that I feel very close to musically and personally and went for it.
So you're 29, which, you know, being a debut, you know, it seems like it might be a little bit along down the road. How did this come about at this time in your particular life? And how do you feel at this age releasing your debut?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I got a grant to do a live performance in New York. It was enough that I was able to bring some of these musicians together for this date. It just seemed like the right time, you know, with the pandemic and everything that's happened. Everybody's a little stir-crazy to get things happening, and it just seemed like the perfect time, you know. Not a lot of gigs going on at the time it was recorded, and it's just, like, a great time to be able to focus on something like that, you know.
Speaking of focus, you know, during the pandemic, we had more time to be reflective, to be in our homes with ourselves. What did you learn over this time, the last 2 years, about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before? It's just going to make you stronger as you get out and promote this debut album.
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, I got a lot done during the pandemic. I got my master's degree. I made this record. And, yeah, I spent a lot of time thinking about myself and my music. I really had more time than usual to reflect and figure out what's important to me personally and musically. Yeah, I think I feel like I've come out of this with a deeper understanding of what I want. It's nice to kind of have that, you know, because as I was developing musically, as I still am, you know, there's just so many things so many directions to go in, even just in jazz. I mean, there's like 100 scenes here in New York and, you know, really just finding my place and solidifying that, you know, so I can move on and know how to grow from it. That, I think the time from the pandemic has been really good for that for me.
So you're originally from Washington, D.C. Tell me a little bit about your childhood and how the jaws of jazz got in you. How did this become your life?
Yeah, I actually started playing music when I was really young. I started taking piano lessons when I was 3 or 4. And then I switched to clarinet when I was like 7. And a cousin of mine gave me a drum set when he was moving when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. And I was really into it immediately. And over time, my older brother played saxophone, and he was really into jazz, and he would try to get me to listen to recordings like Max Roach and John Coltrane. He wanted me to play with him. You know, he wanted me to play drums while he played saxophone, so we just started jamming all the time. He really pushed me. He pushed me to join, like, the jazz bands in my schools, and he pushed me to join all-state and all-city groups and Paul Carr's Jazz Academy, which is a big, like, jazz group in D.C. for kids. Just got more and more into it, and I just realized that I loved it. You know, when I was a little kid, I'd go to concerts and just love hearing music, and I'd like to sit in the front row and just take it all in. And, you know, it was always a dream of mine to really do this. Yeah, I think my brother had a big part of it. Also, my parents were extremely supportive of it, which was great. And I guess last, I had, like, some really nice mentors that helped push me along, inspire me.
What was the very first live jazz show that you saw that blew you away?
So I used to go every Christmas Eve to the Kennedy Center, and there was a jazz show every single year. And I went when I was a little kid, and there was this legendary bass player who lived in D.C. named Keeter Betts. And he played with Ella Fitzgerald, and he played with Count Basie. And he would lead this Christmas show every year, and he was an incredible bassist, you know, sort of coming out of the Ray Brown bag, if I had to pinpoint it. And it was Tom Williams on trumpet, Chuck Redd on vibes, and Lenny Robinson on drums. And it was, yeah, I mean, every year it just blew me away. And then eventually, I saw way more shows, but that was really the first one, I would say, that got me into it.
So as a professional musician, what is it that you look forward to the most about this process? I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but ultimately it culminates with having a creative life and you get to be on stage in front of people. But what do you ultimately look forward to every day being a professional musician?
I love performing music with great artists. I love making great music and being on stage with people that I'm proud to be on stage with. You know, like that's sort of the best feeling, is getting called to do a gig with someone who you really respect and enjoy playing with. Yeah, getting to do that is very fulfilling. And also, I love teaching too. I teach a lot of lessons, and I think that also helps fuel the fire in a way, like teaching people what I know and relaying things that I've learned. It's great. It's a great lifestyle, and I've never too into the 9-to-5 lifestyle. I like to take my time and be able to really focus on art. Yeah, and I feel really fortunate that I'm able to live this way. And hopefully with the pandemic ending, as you said, it will continue to be smoother from here on out.
You know, moving anywhere and establishing yourself in any city, I'm sure, as a musician is difficult. But as your bio has said, you're an emerging drummer in New York. What was that transition like to move into, like, the hotbed of jazz in the world and to get yourself mm-hmm. established on that scene?
So it was interesting. I mean, I moved here with a bunch of friends from SUNY Purchase, where I went to school, all music majors, jazz. A couple of us would just go out every night to all the venues we could and go to the jam sessions and play every night, and just meeting people and playing sessions during the day and, you know, just playing and playing and playing and playing and trying to meet people. It usually starts out slow, like you're playing gigs for almost no money at venues with almost no people, but it slowly started to pick up. And you know, I remember the first time I got called to play at Fat Cat, for example, and I was like, I think I cried, honestly. I was so excited, and it's funny looking back on that and thinking how excited I was, you know. And then getting to play, called to play at Smalls, and then getting called to play at Dizzy's, and then getting called to play at Smoke. You know, it's just like, it gets more fulfilling as the stuff grows. And it's a really hard process, and I think a lot of it has to do with luck in a certain way. You know, all you can do is, like, practice and be prepared for any situation, and most importantly, like, just be the nicest person possible, you know. Easy to get along with.
So, you know, Kenny Washington was a teacher, and I'm curious, what did you learn from Kenny? What, you know, he's had such a history and a lore. What did you get from him?
That's a good question. I mean, Kenny is like one of my personal heroes, and I probably have taken maybe 120 lessons with him between undergrad and graduate school at Purchase. And he really, really shaped my playing. He's a brutally honest guy and makes you work extremely hard. He got my hands sounding cleaner and smoother than ever before, and got my sound together, you know. And the thing that he really did for me, I mean, there's so many things that he did that it's so hard to answer it, you know, but one thing he did for me that I think a lot of people didn't get the chance to because I studied with him so much was just spending time, like, on listening and making sure that I hear everything that's going on in a recording, you know. And he would put on these drumless recordings, like the Oscar Peterson Trio with just guitar, bass, piano. And he'd have me play along, and he'd have me learn the arrangements on the spot, and he'd stop me when I'd miss something. Or if I played something a certain way, he'd sort of guide me to another option or something that would be more concise. And those lessons were absolutely mind-boggling. Like, some of the things he showed me were just, like, completely life-changing, honestly. And I think about some of the things he showed me all the time, and he was so generous with his time, and he would send me records all the time and say, check out how he did this thing here, you know. And Kenny, I have a large place in my heart for Kenny, and he's really, really helped me more than I can really express, you know.
If you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see any jazz musician anywhere, where are you going to go?
That's a tough one. Well, maybe I can go to a place where there's like a triple bill and I get to see three groups, but I would love to hear Max Roach. I'd love to hear Art Blakey. I'd love to hear Al Harewood play. I think Al Harewood got such a beautiful sound out of the drums, just remarkable. Grady Tate would have been fantastic. Lex Humphries. I mean, there's just so many guys. Philly Joe Jones. Being in the room is just such a different experience. You know, I heard Roy Haynes maybe 10 or 15 times. Being next to it when it happens, it's just like all the stars align, all the dots connect, everything makes sense, it's all simplified, it's just like so clear because that's what it is and that's where it came from. And you can get that on recordings, but when you're in the room, it's just, you know, I mean, you obviously know this, but it's just another dimension when you can hear it in person. So I would have loved to hear any of those drummers, even Baby Dodds, Papa Joe Jones. That would have been very interesting to really be able to see what he was doing.
As we've kind of mentioned, the world's opening up, you know, COVID's slowing down. As we get to the live stage again, what do you hope we all collectively realize about the power of live music that you just kind of touched on?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I'm on a different side of the stage, you know. But, personally, I love hearing live music. It fills my life, you know, with joy. It's what I love to do. But, you know, I've noticed playing shows that people seem way more appreciative of music than I've ever noticed. You know, people are paying way more attention. They come up and since COVID, I've never had so many people come up and like thank me for shows because they're like, we haven't seen live music in years. And this is, you know, they're so happy, you know, and it's great. I think it's so important. This has been, this is a really rough time for so many people, but there definitely are a lot of positive things to come from this, and I think that the appreciation of live music is one of those things that is really coming to people's minds now.
So everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. Who do you think you are?
That's a deep question. I don't know. I think I'm a nice person. I'm very social, always trying to like help people out, you know, trying to be the best musician I can. Guess I'm like a pretty relaxed person. I'm, you know, just trying to be like the best person that I can be, to feel the best and feel like I can give the most, I guess, if that's an acceptable answer.
Aaron, thank you for opening up. Thank you for taking some time out. Good luck with the debut and the return to the stage.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you and look forward to hearing more of your show.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Washington, New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Aaron for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz@youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to neonjazz.blogspot.com. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to joedomino.com. And if you would like to, donate a few bucks to the Neon Jazz cause. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.